And now we are going to turn in 1 Kings chapter 21 and hear a story that isn't quite so joyful. And we will be reading a continuation of the story about Naboth's vineyard. And this morning, if you turn to 1 Kings 21, and while you're turning there, this morning we read about this terrible crime, how Ahab and Jezebel, and mostly Jezebel, concocted a plot to kill Naboth because they wanted his vineyard, which just happened to be next to the king's palace. And so let's continue on in this story. And we left this story when Ahab was so happy about getting Naboth's vineyard that he went there. And he didn't just go there by himself. He took a whole bunch of people with him to take over Naboth's vineyard. And here's what happened, starting in verse 17. 1 Kings 21, 17. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone to take possession. And you shall say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, have you killed and also taken possession?' And you shall say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs licked up the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick your own blood.'" Ahab said to Elijah, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" He answered, "I have found you, because you have sold yourself to do what is evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring disaster upon you. I will utterly burn you up, and will cut off from Ahab every male, bond or free, in Israel. And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. For the anger to which you have provoked me, because you have made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel, the Lord also said, 'The dogs shall eat Jezebel within the walls of Jezreel. Anyone belonging to Ahab who dies in the city, the dogs shall eat. And anyone of his who dies in the open country, the birds of the heavens shall eat.' There was none who had sold himself to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord like Ahab, whom Jezebel, his wife, incited. He acted very abominably in going after idols as the Amorites had done, whom the Lord cast out before the people of Israel. And when Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about dejectedly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, 'Have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the disaster in his days, but in his son's days I will bring the disaster upon his house.'" Not a pretty story, obviously. This afternoon, I want to talk about Naboth, the man who was killed, the man who was murdered. And when we think about this as being a crime, Ahab and Jezebel were the perpetrators, and they got a bunch of other people to help them, but Naboth is the victim. And what can we say about Naboth? Naboth was a principled man. He was a man who wanted to obey God. And Naboth's family had been given land in the land of Canaan. And it probably was given to him when the Israelites conquered Canaan, which was about 400 years prior to this date. So this same property was owned by the same family for about 400 years. You can begin to understand why Naboth did not want to sell this land or give this land to Ahab or trade the land. He must have been familiar with the scriptures, because we read in Numbers 36, 37, "The inheritance of the people of Israel shall not be transferred from one tribe to another. For every one of the people of Israel shall hold on to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. And so he did not want to give up his land. And then we also read in Leviticus, the land shall not be sold in perpetuity. He might have said to Ahab, you can buy it for the time being, but in 20 years I want it back, or whatever. No, he could not do that. Ahab wanted the land in perpetuity, for the land is mine. The land was considered to be God's that was given in loan to the people of Israel. And so Naboth was very familiar about the laws that God had made according to the land. And his family had obeyed God over many years, centuries of time. And so Naboth took a stand. And he realized that if he gave the land to Ahab and sold it or traded it or whatever, it would be against the word of God. After all, his family had kept this land for such a long time. He wasn't going to break God's law at this point in time, even if he thought it would have been advantageous to do so. And this problem that confronted Naboth is not a unique problem. Throughout history, people have always had confrontations between the government and what the law of God says. And there are a few examples in scriptures that we can use, but I think that you can go back in history and see where there are many times when the law of the land had a conflict with God's law. We read in Daniel 3, that there were three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who ended up having to go to a worship service. And this worship service was not the worship of God, but it was the revealing of a new golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had commissioned. And at that revealing, at a certain time, all the people were supposed to bow down and worship this image that Nebuchadnezzar had created. And we read that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did not bow. And for their crime, and they were given every opportunity to bow down, but for their crime, they were thrown into a fiery furnace. And you know the rest of that story, where God rescued them out of the fiery furnace, and Nebuchadnezzar began to understand the power of the God of Israel. And we read another story in the New Testament where we have Peter, where we have Peter and John who were out in the temple and they were preaching the gospel. And the Pharisees and Sadducees said, we can't have this. So they sent in some soldiers. They dragged Peter and John in front of the Sanhedrin and they gave them some orders. They charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John, this is their response. We read it in Acts 4, 18 through 20. Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. But we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. They took a stand for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They could not stop talking about it. And they were going to talk about it whether it was in the temple where it was illegal to do so, according to the Sanhedrin, or if it was out in the street corner in the market. They spoke the gospel. And so Naboth, he had a problem. He had to stand on the word of God. And we too live at a time when there is a problem, where sometimes what the government says or what our community says is in conflict to the word of God. For example, if I meet someone who is, say, a homosexual, I can accept the fact that you say you are a homosexual. I can't change that. But I am not going to approve of your lifestyle. I just can't. The word of God does not allow me to approve what you're doing. or someone is caught in adultery and they give you, here's the explanation as to why I committed adultery. And I'm saying, well, I have the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments say, do not commit adultery. How can I approve of what you're doing? There are no exceptions. This is one of the Ten Commandments. And I strongly condemn abortion, even though the laws of this land permit women to abort their babies. All of these are areas in which we will see that our government's position conflicts with our position as a Christian. And there are times when you're going to find yourself in an awkward spot. You're in a company of people, and they're unfriendly to your positions. And you wonder what you should do, especially if they start to quiz you on these things. And we as a church have given you some words that might be useful. You might say, as a Christian, and we gave this to you, so think carefully. As a Christian, I believe and I follow God's directives for us that he has given us in the Bible. I am not entitled to an opinion in this matter, because God has already instructed me on this. I don't hate anyone. I love everyone as God has instructed us to do. I direct you to my pastor or whoever for any more information you want on this. You do not have to answer in that tight situation that you're in about your position, but you do want to call to the fact that you believe that the scriptures are true and they have already told you what to believe. And so that should be the end of the argument. That's your position. And if you are not skilled or you're in a place of danger and of difficulty, that is a position that you can take. Now, poor Naboth, He was in a bad position. He stood on the word of God. And there was Ahab. There was Jezebel. We'll say, well, maybe Naboth should have been proclaiming some other things that he believed. Like, we could say in a situation, well, I believe in love. I believe in joy. I believe in peace. I believe in patience. I believe in kindness. I believe in goodness. I believe in faithfulness. What are those? Fruits of the Spirit. I believe in gentleness. I believe in self-control. There's no law against those things, is there? Those are all things that I believe. Those are good things. I don't think you can argue with me against those things. Regardless, if Naboth had brought that up, it wouldn't have changed the situation. And so Naboth, secondly, paid the price for obedience. He didn't only pay the price himself, his sons, if we read elsewhere in the scriptures, also were killed along with him. And what can we say about Naboth's death? Very sad situation. Ahab and Jezebel got their way. We say that principled Christians and people who obey God's law are not promised a life of ease. One of the first sermons that Jesus gave was a Sermon on the Mount. And we read in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. So they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus said, expect this to happen. Naboth got his reward. He's in heaven. He was persecuted for what he believed. He was killed, murdered for what he believed. We might want to say, God, Ahab and Jezebel lived at the time of Elijah. Why wasn't Elijah called to Naboth's vineyard to stop this from happening? Couldn't he have prevented that murder? Elijah was there in the neighborhood. That is an excellent question. We can see in our own country, when there's been a mass murder, the whole country is thinking about, could this murder, these murders, be prevented? Very good question to ask. And you might even try and argue further and say, God, didn't you say that for all those who love God, all things work together for good? For those who were called according to his purpose? And we might say, okay, the answer is yes. All things are working out for good to those according to his purpose. But God has further stated that he would preserve Christians to their end, but he has not said that he's going to shield us from troubles. He's not going to shield us from all those calamities that are common to mankind. And because I'm a Christian, I didn't lose my electricity last week. No, that didn't happen. I lost my electricity along with everyone else who lost their electricity. It didn't matter if I was a Christian or not a Christian. I lost my electricity. It was a calamity common to man. And we suffer from calamities. God hasn't promised that living in this world is going to prevent us from getting diseases. It's not going to prevent us from having bad things happen to us. And this is what happened to Naboth. And God has also told us that we are going to be persecuted because we are Christians. We are going to be made fun of because we live holy lives and we don't do things that other people do. We are going to be made fun of for how we worship. People are going to contradict us for our views on life. People are going to say, you cannot evangelize here. And these things happen today. In the United States, you cannot go certain places and evangelize today. You will be escorted out of the area. There are countries today, if you tried to evangelize anywhere, you would be thrown into jail. You might be murdered, just like Naboth was. Naboth is an example for us. Are you willing to pay the price for obeying the word of God, for being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to be persecuted? Are you willing to die for what you believe? Naboth was. We don't read that Naboth struggled. Naboth didn't rally around all his friends to try and prevent this from happening. Naboth was just swept along and he was discarded. Naboth is a martyr. We've talked about the perpetrators of this crime. We've talked about the victim of this crime. But now we see that the crime is brought to court. The criminals are judged, they're convicted, and they're punished. And we are reminded that every single sin that we commit and that is committed in this world has a price. The price may be paid sometime during your lifetime, but the price ultimately will be paid at the day of judgment. You will pay for your sins. There's no exceptions. And Ahab went to court. He didn't know he was going to court. he thought he was going to Naboth's vineyard to take it over. But as soon as he entered Naboth's vineyard, he was in the courtroom of God. And who was the judge? The judge was God. The message was delivered by Elijah, his prophet. And in Ahab's ease, there was no prosecution. There was no defense. Elijah entered Naboth's vineyard and proclaimed the sentence, the judgment upon Ahab. And this sentence is harsh. Woe to him who builds a town with blood and founds a city on iniquity. Habakkuk 2, verse 12. That's Ahab. And here's what Elijah said. Elijah didn't say, "I tell you." He never uses the word "I." He says, "Thus says the Lord," and he looks directly at Ahab. He probably pointed at Ahab. He said, "Ahab, right here, the very place where Naboth's blood was shed, the very place where the dogs licked up Naboth's blood, your blood will be licked up by dogs." Would you like to hear someone say that to you? I think Ahab shuddered. I think Ahab never went back to Naboth's vineyard because he knew he was going to lose his life someday in that vineyard, and it wasn't going to be a pleasant story. That's what Elijah said. And Ahab just reacts. He just says right away what he feels. He said, "Have you found me, my enemy?" He thinks of the God of Israel as his enemy. And the God of Israel was his enemy because he was sinning against the God of Israel. And God sent a prophet. Elijah must have been some character. He was a prophet of courage. He was a prophet of spirit. He was willing to march to a king who had all of his leaders around him and give him this proclamation. It wasn't nice to give. A lesser prophet would have been scared to death to do this. Elijah was not. He was inspired by the word of God to convict King Ahab. If Ahab had thought about it and thought about God, and if he had thought that Elijah didn't know, he thought that maybe the way that they had killed Naboth was kind of on the up and up, he would have recognized that someday there was going to be a day of reckoning. He forgot that the eyes of the Lord are in every place. The eyes of the Lord are watching both good and evil. Proverbs 15:3. All sinners, including Christians, including those who are not Christians or call themselves Christians, cannot hide their sins from God. No one is secure from the roving eye of God. God's eyes are everywhere. God knows everything that we have done, whether good or evil. God has planned a day of reckoning for each single one of us. There is going to be a day of judgment, and all the records of our sins are going to be bundled up, and we are going to stand that day with this big pile of sins next to us before a judge who is God, and God is going to look at that bundle of sins, and he's going to look at us, and he is going to give a sentence. Ahab had a huge pile of ugly sins, and he had his sentence proclaimed. Do you know what is going to be the consequence of that bundle of sins that's associated with you? Do you know that one of the consequences is that you will spend eternity in hell, a place where God isn't. And right here, we are living in a place that was created by God. And God is upholding it. God is giving his mercy here. He is keeping it fairly pleasant for us. But hell is going to be a place that God didn't create. It's going to be a place where God's laws are not upheld. There is going to be no mercy in hell. It's a place that I can hardly imagine, except that I can imagine the worst possible place I would ever want to be in. I don't want to be there. It is bad. But then there are some more immediate consequences of sins. Sometimes we get punished for something that we do wrong, and we feel it. Sometimes we have financial losses. Sometimes we have broken relationships. Sometimes we feel really guilty for something that we've done. Sometimes our reputation is destroyed. All of these are consequences of sin that we suffer in this life today, and we have to live with from day to day. But I want to tell you, I have some very good news for you. God can and he will redeem you from the eternal consequences of sin. And God may make it easier for you to live with those consequences of sin that you're living with on this earth. You know that big bundle of sins that each one of us is stacking up? God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And his Son takes that bundle of sins to himself and piles on that bundle of sins on himself, so that when you stand before God, there is no bundle of sins. And God, the judge, on that day of reckoning, doesn't see any sins. And his judgment is, come to me. Live with me for eternity. That's what's going to happen to a person who has embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and has wanted to live their lives in obedience to him and has repented of their sins. King Ahab didn't do that. He heard a terrible sentence. His royal family, his dynasty, was going to be destroyed. And not only that, everyone in his family was going to die a violent life, including his wife. She was pointed out separately. And so what did he do? Something surprising. He knew that whatever Elijah had told him in the past had come true. He knew that Elijah was the word of God. He knew this was going to happen. And he thought, I better do something. So what did he do? He repented. Aha! And how did he repent? He tore his clothes. He put on sackcloth. He showed grief. He fasted. He went around being dejected and sorrowful in attitude. And he must have done this for some time. He did everything that looked like he had repented. And how are we to view this repentance? It seems pretty good, doesn't it? And even though he repented publicly, and he knew he was guilty, everyone knew what he had done, his heart was not changed. We read that God calls us to return to him with all your heart Ahab did not have a change in heart. And how do we know that? We know that he did not stop serving Baal. He did not put Jezebel away as his wife. He didn't try to restore the property back to Naboth's family or whoever it would go to. None of those things happened. And Ahab's example shows us that even the most hardened sinners sometimes can reform themselves for a time. And reformation happens for some people for a time. And you probably know people who have reformed themselves. All of a sudden they say, I'm going to come to church every Sunday. And they come for about a month and then you never see them again. Or they say, I'm an alcoholic and I'm not going to drink anymore. And they don't drink for a year or two. And then all of a sudden you hear they're drinking again. And so on. People have reformed themselves and then they fall away. Why is that? Because in their hearts had not been changed. The Lord had not worked in their hearts to reform them. And so Ahab is an example of a person who reformed himself. He wasn't reformed because a work of God had been done in his heart. He tried to reform himself for a time, and then he fell back into the same crimes that he had committed previously. But there's one more lesson for us here. A very good lesson for us. A very comforting lesson. Ahab had sinned publicly. Everybody knew that he had committed this sin with his wife Jezebel, that evil woman. And Ahab was judged in public. He hadn't been in that garden all by himself. A whole bunch of people were there. And he repented publicly. The people knew that the king was in repentance. He had sackcloth. Look at him. You can tell he's repenting. He's not wearing his kingly garments anymore. And look at his attitude. God recognized this repentance. And God showed mercy to Ahab. And how did he show mercy? He postponed the judgment until after his death. So Ahab didn't have to see Jezebel thrown out of the window of her house onto the ground where the dogs would eat her up. Ahab didn't have to see his son shot to death. And he didn't have to see his whole family exterminated. God was merciful to Ahab. And what does this teach about us about God? It teaches us that God takes delight in mercy, being merciful. God does not delight in judging. God does not delight in punishing. God delights in mercy. And so God was merciful to even this evil man, Ahab. But we can take comfort as Christians that if God would show mercy to this person who had repented temporarily from the sins that he had committed and admitted his sins, even though he felt guilty, he didn't feel that guilty, how much more is God going to show mercy to someone who truly repents of their sins and comes before God and says, God, have mercy upon me. God is just going to pour out his mercy upon such a person. Have you felt the mercy of God in your own lives? Have you experienced the lifting of that pile of sins that you're accumulating off your back and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know that even if you commit sin today, that those sins have been paid for by your Lord Jesus Christ. He is your Savior, and that He has shown mercy to you throughout many years, if you're a Christian for many years, and that if you are not a Christian, that He is willing to show His mercy to you. God has great joy in extending mercy to repentant sinners. And such were you before you were a Christian. And you, as you repent each day, and as you live each day, can feel and participate in the joy of the God who has had mercy for us. And so this case is closed. Ahab and Jezebel have been sentenced. They have been punished. They are in hell. You will never meet Ahab or Jezebel if you're going to heaven. But you will meet Naboth and Elijah in heaven if you're going to join them there. And I would pray that everyone here will look to Jesus Christ to be their Savior.